Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. You're listening to a special broadcast from the Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. It's quiet now, but don't be fooled. Artists from across the country and around Ohio travel here to share their work, their passion, and to earn a living selling that work. But the lifeblood of the festival rests in the hands of corporate sponsors. The arts, like everything else, took a hit 10 years ago with the Great Recession. Things are bouncing back. We're talking about how that works today. Joining us is the regional president of the Central Ohio region for PNC Bank, Michael Gonzarowski. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Ann. Nice to be here.
Also, market manager for Ohio at Bank of America, Jennifer Hurd. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Bank of America is a new sponsor here. Why now?
You know, we've been in Ohio for about 10 years now. We've got 1,500 employees across the state. We're moving retail into the Columbus and Cincinnati markets early next year. And so this is a time when we really want to get our name out there and our people out there. So we do a lot of volunteering in the Columbus market, and we're happy to be the volunteer sponsor. We thought that that was the right spot for us. Plus, we have a big focus on the arts side as well.
Why arts?
You know, arts help our communities thrive in so many different ways. There's education programs that a lot of the organizations do. It brings different cultures together. And so it's something that's important to us. We do a lot in the arts from a national standpoint as well as local. So we have three different programs that really focus on the arts. One is called our Museums on Us program. We have over 200 museums across the country where you get in free the first full weekend of every month. With a Bank of America credit card. We have art conservation projects, so we work with our different museums across the world, and they apply for those conservation grants. The Columbus Museum of Art is in an application process right now. And then we have art in our communities. With the size of who we are and the mergers and acquisitions we've had over the years, we've inherited a lot of art that we want to make open to the public, and so we give it free of charge to different museums across the country.
Michael Gonzarowski, PNC's contributed $250,000 to the arts groups, large and small, in the Columbus region. The grants cover a wide range of disciplines, all kinds of experiences. What's the equation here? How do you split up that kind of money and figure out where it's going to go?
Well, there's a great story behind our Arts Alive program, Anne. But I think it starts well before that program did. PNC and its predecessor organizations have been in Ohio for over 150 years. And through all those years, supporting the arts in way, shape, or form has been part of the corporate philanthropy for those predecessor organizations. We do that for many of the same reasons that Jennifer mentioned, not the least of which is oftentimes the major supporters of those arts organizations and philanthropists to those arts organizations are our clients. And they like the fact that we as a bank support the arts that way as well. But you mentioned the difficulty in the recessions of 08 and 09.
Right.
That was one of those turning points when PNC came to the market in Central Ohio through the purchase of National City Bank. National City was not a survivor of the Great Recession. And PNC came to us and said, we've got some extra money. Our brand really is unknown in the marketplace. You got any ideas? And I give credit to my client and community relationships director at the time, Pat Cash, who in checking around the PNC universe found an Arts Alive program in Philadelphia. So the model was set where performing arts organizations compete for grants. And we said, hey, how about that? How about if we try that in the Columbus market? And that was the first 3 years and $1.5 million that we put into the Arts Alive program. It has been very successful for us against all the goals that we set for that program, which is increasing access to the arts, increasing access for diverse communities that might not normally get to arts performances. Innovation and creativity within the programming, use of technology, one of our goals with the programs, and then, you know, finally, shameless promotion of PNC as part and parcel to the activity. All that has taken place, and it's been so successful that we're now in our ninth year, our $3 millionth grants. And to your question, how do we do it? Arts organizations compete. They send in their proposals for what programming they'll be putting on that meets those goals that I talked about. And we have a committee, and we review the proposals, and we try to pick the most creative and innovative and interesting proposals to fund, which we recently announced a couple weeks ago, the 9 winners of the funding that'll those arts programming will take place in 2019. So it's actually a lot of fun, and we think it's both great branding, great economic development, great work with the arts organizations for educational purposes. It just hits all those buttons for us.
You know, I had an opportunity to have other kinds of organizations on, other kinds of companies that support the arts, and I liked the idea of having two banks on, because I thought we could focus a little bit on what the recession meant and what it meant to the reputation of banks in this country. It took a huge hit. I mean, the ones, the real bad actors, most of them went down, but I think that banks in general were harmed by it. Does that play a role? I mean, was there much to fight back or push back on when it came to restoring the reputation of banks by way of cultural support?
It definitely took a hit. I mean, all banks took a hit during that recession, and especially from the reputational standpoint. I would say at Bank of America, we didn't waver in our giving. We never changed how much we give from a national level, from a local level. And the way we operate is we have a national foundation, and that funnels money into our local markets. And then a person like myself works with our leadership team, and we decide where the money goes based on our priorities, which are around economic mobility for families, individuals, and communities. And so we have national programs. Those didn't waver. We have local programs, which didn't waver. So from a reputational standpoint, you know, I look at it as our employees and our giving back in the community is who we are in each of those communities. So that didn't change here in this Ohio market, in the Columbus market. And I did want to we've been giving in the Ohio market for over 10 years, but based on the acquisitions that we've had employees in this market for over 150 years.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. The WOSU booth is located near the intersection of Rich Street and Civic Center Drive, right by Bicentennial Park. For more information about the festival, you can check out the link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. We're talking about corporate support for the arts this hour. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@WOSU.org. My guests are Jennifer Hurd, she's market manager for Ohio at Bank of America, and also Michael Gonzarowski, he is the regional president of the Central Ohio region for PNC Bank. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. I guess I'm wondering what it's like. You're a banker, Michael.
I am indeed, and I've been one for quite some time
for
now.
For quite a while, you've moved up the food chain on that score, but what's it like to be sitting here and talking about support of the arts?
Well, it's not banking.
It's more fun.
Oh, it's a great deal more fun. Yeah, I'm in my 42nd year with the organization, and have done a variety of more traditional banking tasks throughout that time. As regional president, however, I'm kind of the chief sales and service officer for all the business lines in the marketplace, but an added emphasis on our philanthropic activities, our community involvement activities, and things like this. So,
how does philanthropic figure in the equation? What? How big of a deal is it?
We think it's a very big deal. We think it's our responsibility as a good corporate citizen to be supportive of the communities where we do business. And I might add, at PNC, our major philanthropic focus is not on the arts. It's actually on early childhood education.
Okay.
And our Grow Up Great program, which has recently been extended, and it dwarfs our arts investment. I want to think it's a $350 million commitment over 10 years to early childhood education. That's our primary focus. I would say secondarily, our focus is economic development, and we see the support of the arts fitting into that pocket of support, because great arts organizations add to the vibrancy of a community, helps attract other businesses and satisfy their employees for wanting to live here. Huh. And we think it's just a healthy part of building the community. And by the way, it's good for business in the long run if you're working in a healthy and creative and innovative community. And in Columbus, I think we have that in spades.
Mm-hmm. And I'd add that when you think about the communities in which we all live, work, and play, we want them all to be successful. There is no competition around, brand or this. It's what does our community look like? And so there's many times when we, whether it's banks or foundations or other companies, get together and really talk about the priorities of that community and how we can all be a player to ensure that the community itself is successful and one where we can be successful from a business standpoint, but also for our employees.
I want to add on to that. I'm delighted to see Jennifer here and to see Bank America supporting this festival. Great organization, big bank, far larger than PNC, frankly. As a member of the Board of Trustees of the Greater Columbus Arts Council, I know how important this festival is to the GCAC. And to have another corporate bank, step up and help support this, I think it's wonderful. So we're
not going to have a boxing match later in the program.
Well,
maybe
if we get
heart.
To some of our okay. lending and okay. deposit products, but okay. not on support for the arts.
Okay. We are talking about corporate support for the arts. If you have a question or comment about how that works, now is the time to call. Maybe you have a project. You never know. I'm not sure. I don't think they'll approve anything on the air, but they may give you some tips. Jennifer Hurd, Market Manager for Ohio at Bank of America, and Michael Gonzarowski, he is Regional President of the Central Ohio Region for PNC Bank. 614-292-8513. We'll be right back. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher, broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. This is 89.7 NPR News. A special live broadcast from the 2017 Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. We're talking about corporate support for the arts, how it's improved in recent years, why it matters. Still with us, Regional President of the Central Ohio Region for PNC Bank, Michael Gonzarowski, and also with us, Market Manager for the State of Ohio at Bank of America, Jennifer Hurd. Questions or comments about how corporate sponsorship for the arts works? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. What is the process, and Jennifer or Michael, either of you chime in, on risk-taking with the arts?
Risk-taking
So
with
are
the
there
arts.
Some things that you're going to look at and go, yeah, no way?
Yes.
Okay.
From a reputational aspect.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of examples.
What's the metric of that? Yeah.
Well, it's not a metric. I guess it would be like the Supreme Court definition. When you saw it, you'd know it. But I can't think of one right off the top of my head. But oftentimes, even in the Arts Alive process, we'll get a grant request, and we think it's just too...
Yeah.
Too weird, too controversial, too off the wall, and it doesn't make it to the next round.
And there are some arts organizations that are making statements, mm-hmm. So similar, they're talking about the controversial or trying to bring art into a way where it might make sense for them and in their museum or whatever they happen to be, but not might not make sense from a corporate standpoint because it's making a statement about, you know, an issue that's happening worldwide or something of that mm-hmm. sort.
Does that ever, I mean, particularly when in art collections, when you're talking about art collections, I'm wondering, you know, art collections are a couple things. They're also investments, right?
Right. In our granting for Arts Alive programming, it's performing arts.
Uh-huh.
So, performing and visual arts. So I guess collections would come into it. But I can't think of an example where it was so outrageous that we feared, you know, reputational risk to our organization by virtue of the investment.
How small do you go when it comes to grants?
From a dollar size?
Yeah.
I prefer not to go below $5,000. So our process, we have two grant cycles every year from a local standpoint. We focus on the economic mobility for families and individuals in the first cycle, which is really around workforce development, basic needs. And we focus on the communities, economic mobility for communities in the second cycle, which involves the arts and culture, affordable housing, CDCs, and things of that sort. I would say my average grant is probably $10,000 to $20,000. Being a national organization, but with a smaller probably presence, even though we're at 1,500 here, we are bringing our signature program into the Columbus market this year. It's called Neighborhood Builders. Next year, we're celebrating our 15th anniversary. Cleveland has had the program since 2015, and then Columbus and Cincinnati will get it this year. And that is a $200,000 capacity building grant in our priority areas over 2 years, plus training for the executive director and an emerging leader. And so that's what we're bringing in, as well as a student leader program. That's a program, again, 15 years old that we do nationally that will just start in Columbus and Cincinnati in the fall. So for next summer, we choose 5 juniors and seniors that are in high school. We pay them $10 an hour, or if minimum wage is higher, to do an internship at a local nonprofit. So that could be at an arts organization. Mm-hmm. Up in Cleveland, they're going to be working at the food bank this summer. And then we bring them to D.C. for a week with all the other student leaders from across the country, which is an amazing opportunity for them to see how government, businesses, and nonprofits really form our communities.
I would answer that, and you might be surprised by this, but generally a day doesn't go by that we don't get a letter in the mail or a phone call with a request for some kind of funding for some form of philanthropic or social mm-hmm. service or educational activity. It's actually amazing. I think on the average year, that'll be 600 or 700 requests for fundings that come in. Clearly, we can't, you know, meet all those requests. While we don't have a limit on a dollar, you know, a minimum dollar amount that we'll donate, in the Arts Alive program, our average grant there is $25,000 to $50,000 per organization. But, you know, we'll buy some tickets to a gala and send a couple of our bankers for, mm-hmm. you know, $500 or $1,000. So it kind of just depends how we want to take advantage of the opportunity to invest in the activity and our budget. And clearly Jennifer has a much larger budget than I do, and she's got the entire state of Ohio. I'm only one of 7 regional presidents in the state of Ohio, so
it's a big state.
That's why I'm delighted to see Jennifer here with her checkbook. It's great.
Does it get competitive? Who gets the biggest font on the program?
No, that's on the bond offering. No, I don't think so. I think not just banks, but the corporates in general are very collaborative. You've read about the Columbus Way, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
and I think that extends to our
how everybody works together for
exactly.
the betterment of
well,
the city.
Well, private partnership,
public-private
partnerships,
yep.
and collaboration, and that includes the arts in that. Columbus Way mentality.
And I'll go back to the volunteerism, because I think that's a way that all of our companies show, you know, who we are in the community. And that's just our employees, sometimes with their lines of business, sometimes with their family and friends, out there volunteering, you know, in the t-shirts and things of that sort, but helping the community. But to me, that's more important than having a bigger font.
Uh-huh. So I gotta take take on that. At PNC, every employee is allowed up to 40 hours of paid volunteer time throughout the course of the year. And so we also encourage volunteerism. And when an employee or teams of employees reach 100 hours of service to any organization, the PNC Foundation will then grant that organization an additional $3,000 check. So recently, my team and teams from Columbus, we were reading buddies for Broadley Elementary School, which is a priority Columbus public school here in town, and we were able to deliver two $3,000 checks at the big celebration at the end of the year for our preschoolers and first graders that we were helping with their reading skills. And you know, I think we get as much out of it as they do, and we love to take that time and spend that time volunteering.
You said you've been with PNC one way and one role or another for 42 years.
Yes.
And I was wondering if the culture of philanthropy within the bank and within the banking world has changed over that time.
Has
it always been pretty steady, Eddie?
Yeah, I would say it has. I mean, again, my predecessor organization was National City, headquartered out of Cleveland, where I served for many years. They're equally supportive in that community, or were equally supportive in that community and throughout their footprint. And I was delighted when PNC purchased National City that the corporate culture around philanthropy was
already
equal, if not perhaps even a little more focused than it was at National City.
I've only been 15 years at the company, at Bank of America. I've been in four cities, Portland, D.C., Charlotte, and now Cleveland, and covering the state in similar roles. And I'd say it hasn't wavered. I mean, we've always been a very philanthropic organization, and we're probably getting more and more philanthropic over the years in terms of, like, the program, like the Neighborhood Builders, adding that to five different cities this year. So I don't think it's wavered. I think it's gotten more important to the point where we, you know, the volunteerism is a huge piece. We have very similar programs, but I do the local grant making. We have some national grant making as well as our arts department, which I talked about before. And then we also have an environmental department. You know, so those are things that are all very important to us as a company and to the places where we are working and living. And so I think we're getting more and more philanthropic as the years go on.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. Visit us. The WOSU booth is located near the intersection of Rich Street and Civic Center Drive. There's going to be television characters here over the weekend. I think real live television characters. Somebody nod. The music in the background, I don't know what it is, but you're going to be hearing that. A few years ago, we had a marching band stomp past us, so you never know what's going to happen down here at the festival. We are talking about corporate support. PBS Kids characters. Thank you, Amy Jurevich, back there in the studio. We're talking about corporate support for the arts. We have two banks represented today. Michael Gonzarowski is the regional president of the Central Ohio region for PNC Bank. And also with us, Jennifer Hurd, marketing manager for Ohio at Bank of America, both big corporate sponsors for the Columbus Arts Festival. They have competing fonts on the program for the patron party tonight.
The patron party is sponsored by PNC Bank.
I'm sorry. The patron party is sponsored by PNC Bank.
But we're delighted that Bank of America will be helping.
Yeah. We're happy to be going.
If you have a question or comment, though, about corporate sponsorship for the arts, you know, Jennifer Hurd just said that they go as low as $5,000 for grants for organizations for the arts. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So what is it that qualifies, in your mind, for a grant? What kind of mission does that person or organization have to have? Yeah. Jennifer Hurd?
So there's grants and there's also sponsorships. So what we're doing with the Arts Festival is a sponsorship, which is a little bit different. You are looking for that brand aspect and that ability when I look at that, I look for abilities for us to get clients and prospects involved, our community, our employees involved, as well as having the brand out there. From a foundation standpoint, that's more of the goodwill of the heart, right? So we look at organizations, especially in the arts world, that are kind of an anchor in their community and doing different programs. Sometimes it's an education program, you're working with folks that might, or students that might not actually get into, be able to take advantage of the museum on a regular basis. We do look at the low to moderate income and how the arts organizations are supporting those organizations. Sometimes that's through the schools, sometimes that's through the museums, COSI, things of that sort. So from that standpoint, we also look at how they are working in the community. Like, what do they mean to that actual community and the development of that community? So that's another aspect that might just look at operating, but it's also who they are in that community and what they're bringing to it.
So it could be an individual artist who's doing something.
We don't support individual artists,
all right,
though we do from we work a lot with collectors, but not on the granting. All of our granting has to be a 501c3.
Gotcha.
Yeah, likewise.
Okay.
For example, in the Arts Alive program, one of the requirements is that the organization have a budget of at least $250,000. Of
that just made my hair stand on
of revenue.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money.
Well, it is.
A lot of people, yeah.
But again, we're trying to make sure that our dollars are going to be impactful for the goals we're trying to advance with Arts Alive. So much like Jennifer, we're not supporting individual artists. But I would argue that our support for GCAC, for example, PNC has been one of the supporters of Columbus Makes Art, the Art Makes Columbus marketing campaign.
Right.
And you know that the GCAC does a great job putting a lot of money into individual artist support and programming. So kind of indirectly, we see ourselves helping that way.
How do you measure success? Well, when, at the end of a period of time and when the grant or the sponsorship is concluded or is coming to an end, maybe a renewal process is afoot, how do you judge that?
We have a formal evaluation component to our Arts Alive programming. We ask, generally the grant requests will include what they hope to achieve in terms of audience, tickets sold, audience participation, social media metrics, and we actually require those organizations to then report back on how did you do against the goals that you suggested to us, and we'll use that in future considerations for more funding. I can say some organizations more than live up to the objectives, and some fall behind, and that'll have consequences for later years.
And I'd say a similar process, but I'd also add that it's the relationship also that's built with the organization. So I never just want to be a check. I want to look and understand, what are those other opportunities that are there for our employees to get involved? How are they responsive to me if something changed, whether it's in the grant or the sponsorship? How are they reaching back out? So it really is about building that relationship with the organization and feeling kind of like an extension of them, in addition to kind of the paper.
And
stuff.
I think Columbus is blessed with some terrific arts organizational leaders, particularly in the major arts organizations in this town. We just have tremendous leadership, and so it is a collaborative process where it is a relationship that we've built with these organizations over time, and so it's a natural component of how we do business and how we offer our philanthropy.
You've worked in some pretty arty cities, right? Artsy cities. How does Columbus stack up?
I think it stacks up pretty well. So I'll use Charlotte as an example. That's our headquarters. I was there from 2007 to 2014, and they were just building their arts industry, really. They were bringing, at least downtown, they had different museums across in the city, but bringing it to the downtown area.
Once
where
the light rail went in, that was a
right.
big part of it.
And so, like, the African American Museum, the Gantt Center was one that was built there. So we actually had a collection, the Hewitt Collection, which is one of the larger collections of different artists, African-American artists. And so we donated that to them so that they could have that as a permanent collection. We've donated some stuff to the Mint Museum there so they could have that as a permanent collection. And, you know, I talked about our arts in the communities where we loan out different exhibitions, I guess is the
artworks.
Right word. Artworks, you know, that vary, and we loan those out for free and bring those in for free and then do a lot of events around there. And then sometimes we're blessed enough to be able to actually give some of the permanent collection to drive arts in the different communities where we are.
That must be a big deal, giving part of a permanent collection away.
It is. It's and that's why we have a whole arts department at our company.
And to your question, I moved here from Cleveland,
uh-huh.
And you know, no surprise, Cleveland has a far longer history and richer and more well-endowed kind of arts community, with the Cleveland Museum of Art and the Cleveland Symphony Orchestra is just a couple of examples. The Playhouse, which is, you know, over 100 years. So you come to Columbus and you think, oh, well, you know, what can Columbus offer? And I've been delighted and happy to find how vibrant this arts community is here, how strong the orchestra is, how good it sounds, how well Pro Musica puts on organizations. The Columbus Museum of Art, where we've, through Arts Alive, started Free Sundays many years ago, and we've now continued to support that because it's been such a tremendous hit for the community. So, yeah, Columbus does not need to look back or feel, you know, second class in any way when it comes to its arts organizations.
You mentioned, Jennifer, heard that you didn't, there was, you know, 10 years ago, 2008, 2009, when everyone was getting hit so hard financially, that you didn't, it didn't change the amount. Now, you didn't increase either, but your foundation was the steady source of income for that.
Yeah, so the foundation stayed steady. We made a conscious decision not to pull back in what we were doing in the communities. There was, you know, a lot of aspects too where we were doing more, maybe not just with philanthropic dollars, but you think about the whole bankruptcy and foreclosure aspect. We were giving houses back to the Wounded Warrior Project for wounded veterans to be in. We were doing, I think we did about 2,000 houses across the country, with a hard hit here in Ohio just because of what we looked like after bankruptcy and foreclosure. We also gave some of those to the Habitat. So we did things like that in addition to just the dollars. And then now we're looking, as I mentioned, to grow in what we're doing philanthropic across different markets that we hadn't been like a Columbus and Cincinnati and Cleveland and Indianapolis and Pittsburgh, where we've had a long history, but maybe not with retail and things of that sort.
Was there a discussion in the corporate world at the time of the Great Recession and after it, and the process of recovering from it, about the arts, about philanthropy, and what role it was going to play in the recovery, or maybe how it should be maybe sublimated a little bit in that process?
Well, there were certainly discussions like that going on in Columbus. You may recall a fundraising kind of activity called Thrive in Five, where the CCLC, the major arts groups in Columbus, got together and really tried to raise money specifically to address what was kind of the results of the recession and some funding declines in the community. We participated in that and helped support it. So yeah, I mean it's a legitimate civic topic, if you will. How are our arts organizations thriving or not, and can we help?
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. The WOSU booth is located near the intersection of Ridge Street and Civic Center Drive, right by Bicentennial Park. For more information about the festival and where we're located, check out the link on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. We're talking about corporate sponsorship for the arts. It's a big deal. And we've been talking about also what kind of hit it might or could have taken after the recession in 2008-2009. My guest, Michael Gonzarowski, he is the regional president of the Central Ohio region for PNC Bank. Also with us, Jennifer Hurd. She's market manager for Ohio at Bank of America. If you have a question or comment for them about about corporate sponsorship for the arts, what works, what doesn't, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. This is a special live broadcast from the 2017 Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. Every once in a while, some music strikes up somewhere. I don't know what it all means, but it sounds arty and beautiful in the background. I hope you're enjoying it. This hour, we're talking about corporate support for the arts, how it's improved in recent years since the recession, why it matters, and how it works. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Still with us is Regional President of Central Ohio Region for the PNC Bank, Mike Gonzarowski. Also with us, Market Manager for the State of Ohio at the Bank of America, Jennifer Hurd. You know, sometimes the corporate sponsorship, there's a kind of a stigma associated with corporate sponsorship sometimes. I think sometimes people see that. I jokingly referred to you as the suits.
What do you mean by stigma? I'm not sure I get it.
I guess it kind of gets to that more risk-taking part of the arts. And we were talking earlier about how sometimes, you know, you are limited in the kind of risks you can take. So I'm wondering, you know, why you think what the reception of corporate sponsorship is, because when I look at it, I see people embracing it all over the place.
Jennifer?
So I agree. I mean, I think people embrace it. You do get why are you doing this when my loan went up or things of that kind of sort,
yeah.
You know, so that, I guess when I heard stigma, that's kind of where I went is, you know, oh, they're out there doing this. But I think people that understand being involved in a community and are philanthropic themselves or understand what it really takes to run a community, you know, Columbus would not run without the nonprofits and the support of all the companies and the foundations that give back here. And so I think that's more of, I would say probably more so than none, that's what people understand versus the stigma aspect, but you will get that on pieces.
So, Ann, here's one. PNC is the sponsor of the Broadway series in Columbus that's put on by Kappa. And through that sponsorship, we regularly get a big block of tickets so that we can entertain clients and prospects at the shows. Well, one of those shows that came through here was the Book of Mormon. And, you know, you're sitting next to one of your great prospects who is absolutely mortified to be.
People do get up and walk out of that show.
People do get up and walk out of that show. And so that probably wasn't such a great use of our, sponsorship benefit there for that particular client or prospect.
But once when you're on for Broadway, you're on for the whole Broadway series.
Oh, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So we'll continue to take that risk because we think it's a great branding opportunity and we love supporting Kappa. So it works for us.
I think it also goes back to the relationships we were talking about. So understanding, like, who are those other sponsors? Because sometimes, you know, there's usually like a non-compete when it comes to your industry. But then when they could throw somebody in there that you're like, ooh, I'm not sure that's who we wanted to be associated with. So I think it's that relationship and still being able to have that conversation because the organization is looking for the money, you know, so they might not be looking at it from that angle.
When you talk about non-compete, you mean only one bank? I mean, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, typically it's a an exclusion for another financial institution to be also one of the major sponsors. Having said that, so often you'll find all the banks in town, kind of joining in support of a particular activity. So it just depends on the nature of the sponsorship and what you're trying to do with the investment with the dollars.
You know, you talked about when you're in that process of re-evaluating an investment, you know, in an organization or in a project or something like that, and some of them don't measure up, and that figures into the equation. Are some, I mean, I'm just thinking about groups just starting out, just getting their first big corporate sponsorship, their first big grant, that kind of a thing, and how you are with neophytes in the business.
Again, I think it's harder for the neophytes to kind of make the cut, if you will, for significant dollars from PNC in this case. But then I can think of pretty much every year that we've done our Arts Alive grant making, we've always had a new winner or a new performing or mm-hmm. visual organization in the mix. So I guess it just depends.
Yeah.
And I mean, the organizations are all over the board with their budgets. I know before when Mike mentioned the 250, you were like, oh, but I mean, they go from 100,000 up to 20 million, you know,
yeah.
And it depends on, you know, who they're serving and what they're doing. And an operating budget for a symphony looks very different than an operating budget for, you know, affordable housing. So it's, I think it's something. The other thing I think, from Bank of America's standpoint, we look at that organization and we want them to be successful and not just the dollars. So we also offer webinars to any of our partners. And these are webinars that, you know, a lot of the times when you don't have enough in the budget, training is something that gets eliminated. And so we'll offer webinars and it might focus on collective impact. It might focus on professional development. And any of our partners are able to get on those calls. And so that's another way to help ensure that people can be successful. We also, you know, I mean, financial literacy, both of us being part of a bank is a huge piece. We have our Better Money Habits champions, and we look like that's almost like a concierge service for us, and we'll go out to any organization that needs that and talk to them about what are the needs and then bring our volunteers back out and have those conversations.
We have an email from Sam. He says, I am working with a nonprofit arts organization, a co-working arts space. What would you recommend to me if I want to go for a grant? Any application tips to stand out?
Give us a call. You know, email myself or Shannon Morgan, my client and community relationships director. Send us a proposal in the mail. We'll be happy to.
What stands out for you, though? What grabs you?
What grabs us? I would say it depends on what that arts organization is trying to accomplish mm-hmm. with the money that we're going to invest. And, you know, we're about community development. We're about economic development. We're about, you know, building audience. All of those things are important to us. And so those are kind of the hooks that probably get us most excited about supporting the arts.
And I'd say the first step is about building that relationship and reaching out. So a lot of the times, you know, people will find you online and search and just apply for a grant online, but you have no relationship and no, and you don't necessarily have to have history, but understand who they are. And they might come in asking for $300,000 and you're like, I've never even spoken to you, mm-hmm. you know? So my advice would be, you know, so ours is bankofamerica.com/foundation. That anything on there would get to me at the local market level. Happy to have a conversation to explain more of our priorities and see if that's something that fits within their,
I guess some people think you're saying it, just shoot me an email. And to a lot of people, that's intimidating.
An email is intimidating
yeah.
in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little surprised by that.
Let me put it this way: Maybe Sam thinks, well, why would they look at an email for me? They don't know me.
Well, because we answer
That's
our
what
phone,
you do.
And
That's
we
what your job
we
is,
read
yeah.
emails, and we always want to be responsive, even if it's to the point that we're sorry, this is not something we're interested in or we're going to support. We want to have that conversation, and we want to start that relationship if we don't have one so that we can hopefully be helpful for them and what they're trying to achieve.
And I'd add that, I mean, I tell our employees all the time, I will take any meeting. So I will go out and meet with any nonprofit, whether they fall within our priorities or not, because there are other things we do. We have a matching gift program. So if our employees get involved, they might write their own check and then be able to match that gift. We talked about we have 2 hours of paid time off a week for mm-hmm. volunteering. We have volunteer grants. So those are other ways that we can be involved with an organization without actually writing a check.
And, you know, everybody's got a banking relationship somewhere. We think it should be with PNC, so let's have a conversation, and maybe it'll be
going to let them have that one.
maybe it'll be a good entree to doing some banking business.
And then finally, you know, just looking for that story. I mean, have you ever discovered something? Have you ever found an organization? Have you ever learned something from the process of this philanthropic support of the arts that surprised you and that was, you know, just wonderful?
Again, I can think to the success, for example, that we saw for the museum, and I see Nanette Macy June standing out here, our wonderful
standing in the wings,
executive
waiting
director
in the wings
for the Columbus Museum of Art. Free Sundays has become a staple in this community, and it started with an Arts Alive grant, and it continues to this day. I can think of their collaboration with Shadowbox in Gallery of Echoes, which was an amazing production that our funding, I think, was part of. So you asked me earlier, well, this has got to be fun. It is fun. Look, hanging out with art people is a lot more fun than hanging out with bankers. So that's a no-brainer.
I think the surprising thing is, well, I guess it's not surprising, but I mean, I think our community is very philanthropic, and that's amazing to see. It's amazing to be a part of that and be able to see what we're trying to do for our community that sits here. So it's not necessarily surprising, but it's something that gives that satisfaction every time we're out there meeting with organizations or giving money away or volunteering. We are doing something to give back in the communities in which we live, work, and play, and that makes me feel good on a daily basis.
And I would bet Jennifer and I both would hope that more corporate organizations see the benefits that we've talked about, you know, over this time, and start forming those relationships, pull out your checkbook. There's so much benefit that can be gained for the community and for the organization.
Does PNC work out of a foundation?
We do. The PNC Foundation, which is a set of dollars that where we're not looking for corporate advertising or sponsorship, but then we also have sponsorship budgets, which have a little more flexibility.
And it's measurable, the impact this makes on your bottom line. I mean, this is good for business.
Well, it's good for business, but it is a business expense.
Right.
I mean, this only can happen because we're working for successful financial service organizations that not only see it as their civic mission, but also have the benefit of being financially successful enough to make these kind of investments. And again, our investments in the arts are just a piece of the corporate philanthropy within our organization.
And also good for our employees. You know, when you get paid time off or the ability to give a grant in your name from a volunteer grant, it helps with retention and it helps with satisfaction.
And you said it's 40 hours a week a year?
There is 40 minus 2 hours a week, so 8 hours.
40 hours a year. Yeah.
Ours is 40 hours a year.
And do people take advantage of that?
Absolutely. Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. We most of our volunteer activity is not within the art space, but in the early childhood educational space. And, you know, we're partnering with the libraries and the YMCA and the Head Start programs and the Columbus Public Schools. So we've got a lot of our employees in this market and, frankly, across our company doing that every day.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you both for joining us today. Jennifer Hurd, Market Manager for Ohio at Bank of America. Thanks for your help. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And Mike Gonzarowski, Regional President of Central Ohio Region for PNC Bank. Thanks to you as well. I appreciate your time today.
And my pleasure. It's been fun.
We have been broadcasting live from the Columbus Arts Festival in downtown Columbus. We will continue to do so. The WOSU booth is located near the intersection of Ridge Street and Civic Center Drive, right by Bicentennial Park. For more information about the festival, you can check out the link on our website at wosu.org/allsides. I want to tell you that if you can, be sure to like All Sides on Facebook. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSU All Sides. You can follow me on Twitter, too, at Ann Fisher, WOSU. And thanks for listening today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.